And at this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mary Ann as our 10-minute speaker.
Hi, my name is Mary Ann. I'm an alcoholic. I'll start out when I was really young. I had a lot of issues. And that's the ism. I selfed me and I lived in my head. I ran from people, places, and things. And I wanted to run for myself above all. And I could never, never run for myself. It seemed like ran from people. And I always guessed what people were thinking. And they were thinking bad things. And I didn't even feel comfortable at home with my parents. There was no safe place. There was no safe place. And it wasn't necessarily due to them either. I could say, you know, they had their hang-ups. But I believe that I was born with some of this crazy thinking. And some of us are sicker than others. And I'm one of those. And I looked so normal. You wouldn't think that I had all those issues. And I couldn't talk about them. Because then the game would be over. It would be like, now I really have to run. Alcohol was always a beverage in our home. My parents drank. I drank from little on. Go to cocktail lounges. Parents give me a little drink. It was not a big deal. I don't believe my dad was an alcoholic, and my mother died when I was 9, so I really don't know about her, whether she was alcoholic or not. What was going on is I was measuring my insides by everybody outside, because I couldn't measure up. Started getting in trouble with the law at an early age. Because it didn't matter what the consequences were. Nothing really mattered except that I could get away somehow. I took off one day and I went to Long Beach in Los Angeles. And I seen this place and it looked good. Because nobody knew where I lived. No one knew my dad. No one knew about me. And I like it that way. Because I didn't even know me anyway, so. But I didn't want them to know anything. And I drank heavier. But that didn't make me an alcoholic either. It gave me a feeling of ease and comfort. And I like that. And as time went on, by the age of 16, I had a baby. So I stopped for a while. I stopped from 16 to about 18. And then around 18, 19, I started drinking again. And I started blacking out. But I thought everybody blacked out once in a while, because if you drank enough, that's just what happened. I didn't know that if you're an alcoholic, or if you're not an alcoholic, you're not going to black out. And it took so long to get there. Like some people say, just the first drink they were alcoholic. I was not. Like I said, I wanted to control people, places, and things. So anyway, I signed myself into the hospital. And I went into detox. They said I was chronic alcoholic. Again, that didn't mean much to me at all. They asked me how much I drank. I said, I drank once in a while. You know, how much? Not much. What do you drink? Oh, just a little. But anyway, they didn't believe me. They did not believe me. So I went to Long Beach Hospital. And I went to their 30-day program, and then I went to a halfway house. I got exposed to AA. once I started doing a little bit better, I thought I could come here, but I don't really have to radically change my life. But I want to sit next to the door so I could come in, quick, get out quick, and I can get something that you have by just listening to you. Because I, again, was going to control it. And as I started going to meetings and listening, I heard about the allergy of the body. Because, see, I didn't want to do anything immoral because I thought my dad, if he loved me enough, he would have changed. And if I loved my son enough, or if I loved you enough, I could change. Didn't matter how much love I had or how much love he had, I could not change because of that allergy of the body. My body developed an addiction with it, and I wanted more. And I drank between meetings, which doesn't help, but I kept on coming back, and I was always welcome back. So grateful for that. Not a sponsor. And I wanted a sponsor where she wouldn't even know if I was dead or alive. Wanted a sponsor where I could just say, I had a sponsor, see? She didn't even know who I was. She had so many pleasures. And that's the way I liked it. That's the way I liked it. Then I chose a sponsor where we started working the steps. I didn't have a good foundation to begin with because of that radical thinking and some of the things what happened as I grew up. And I thought, if I could get my head together, if I didn't have these mental problems, alcohol wouldn't be a problem. But it still is because of the addiction again. So anyway, work the steps to the best of my ability. I wanted to do it perfect. And I didn't see we admit it. I seen I admitted that I was powerless over alcohol. It's we. It's not me. And came to believe in a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. The biggest insanity I had, I mean, I could tell you all kinds of crazy things what I thought, but the biggest insanity is that I thought I could go back drinking all the time and that it would get better somehow, some way. And it always got worse. And I forgot to say, when I first came to the program, I had that son, I had that job, I had that house. I had it going on, I thought. And I lost them all. Lost them all. So, anyway, working the steps. And I started maintaining some sobriety and being of service. It was very hard for me to be of service because I'm really terminally shy. I really don't want to talk to people that much. I love people, but I still have a lot of that fear going on. Like tonight, I don't feel comfortable up here. But it doesn't matter what I feel comfortable with. What matters is that I follow through with what this program helped me, because this program really worked. Nothing else worked. I've been to shrinks, I've been to everybody, and nobody really had the answer. Nobody had the answer. And that spiritual malady I had, came to believe that a power greater than myself would restore me to sanity. My God was a judgmental God. I thought when I did something wrong, he's going to really mess over me because I went too far. I'm never going to be good enough for him. I had to perform for him like I tried to perform for you and everybody else. And all this time I didn't have to perform. He was with me in the depths of my life and in the heights of my life. He never, never let go of me. And it took me a long time to realize how much he loves me for me, exactly where I'm at. And I can be loved for who I am, not who I think you would want me to be or who I want to be, but who I am at this very moment in time. Grateful that I came to that. And that's because of the love in these rooms. I didn't let you love me at first. That was real, real hard because I loathe me deeper than hate. And today I can say I love me. Anyway, in sobriety, I got another job. I think I'm about 10 minutes now, so I'm going to make it quick. I got another good job, got another home. My son never came back home. He told me, he says, if you try to go to court, I'm going to tell him all about you. You'll never be able to see me again. Okay. But inside I was broke up. It hurt badly. Because he was my family. And today I can tell you, we have an okay relationship. I'm not going to tell you it's great, because it is not great. But just like I want to be accepted for who I am, I do that with him, because you gave that to me. And our relationship is okay. It doesn't have to be great. I was looking for something really great and fantastic all the time. And okay is good enough. Grateful for all of you, and I think I did it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Marianne.